Good morning. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. Let's read through the whole chapter. Nehemiah chapter 5. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others are saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we are of the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others." When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are charging your own people interest." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, "As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who are sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us." They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, "In this way may God shake out their house and possessions, anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, 6 choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I have done for these people. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your goodness over our lives, God. And I pray that you would speak to us, and we pray that you will help us to pray and enter into your presence, God, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this chapter is talking about Nehemiah. He is one of the leaders of the people of Israel, and the people of Israel have just come back from the land of their captivity in Babylon, and they have come back to their own land because they have granted them to come back and rebuild their temple and to rebuild the wall. So Nehemiah is one of the leaders that have come back and is helping to rebuild the wall. So they're rebuilding the wall, and great things are happening. There's great opposition, but the people are able to persevere through and help build back the wall of Israel, wall of Jerusalem. But in the midst of that, in chapter 5, the people of Israel come to Nehemiah because he was the leader, and they complain. They don't complain, but they bring up an issue. They bring up an issue of injustice that is happening amongst the people. Basically, the poor are being exploited, and the rich are helping the poor, but they're not really helping the poor freely. They're helping the poor, but charging interest and making it very, very difficult for them to ever pay back their debt, you know, their land, their wealth, grain, whatever it is that they're lending. So they're saying, you know, we're having to sell our own kids to be slaves to our own people, and just kind of bringing up this issue of injustice. So Nehemiah hears this outcry, and he gets angry. So he calls the rich, the nobles of the people, and basically says, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is unjust. So you need to stop this right now. You need to give back all the interest that you've been charging, and basically, you know, help and lend, but don't charge interest, and, you know, make it easier for them to repay. And later on in this book of Nehemiah, they will reinstate the law of Jubilee. You know, every 7 years, all the debts, all the things that they owe, all the land they gave, you know, those things will be given back to the previous owner. So all the debts are canceled. You know, everything that was binding them to somebody, those things get canceled. So this thing comes back to you know, the people of Israel. So Nehemiah here fights for justice for his own people. So that's kind of what I want to talk about, fighting for someone's justice. So we've been talking a lot about humility at church, and this is the early morning, so I really want to make it simple, but we've been having this discussion at house church that I thought was an interesting question for us to ask ourselves. So when we talk about humility, we read passages. An example of humility is Jesus' words, right? He says, if somebody slaps you on the left cheek, right cheek, then turn to him your left also. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek as well. So we talk about humility in this aspect of, if somebody does something to you and offends you, then you don't fight back, you know? Because I talked about the discipline of silence, you know? Letting God be our justifier and choosing to remain silent and choosing to endure because we know that God's going to come through. And that's an aspect of humility, not fighting back, not defending yourself. And then, so we talk about that aspect of humility, and I want to get this right, this question in our minds. And we also, that's when you're talking about yourself, right? If somebody does something to you and that's not just, if injustice is done upon you, humility would say, that's okay. You know, you choose to say, I let go. You know, I let God be the defender of me. But then we got to talking about, how about fighting for justice for other people? You know, like if there's a group of people that have been humiliated, that injustice is done upon them, and good things are taken away from them, do we have to fight for their justice, or should we let them just deal with it because it's better for them to be humble and for God to come and be their justifier than for us to step in and fight for their justice? Why? How we got into talking about this is we were talking about the issue of silence, remaining silent, not doing anything, and letting God be our justifier. And we were saying, all of us were saying, yeah, that's easier for us to do if it's just for ourselves. If somebody wrongs me, it's easier for me to say, okay, that's fine. I'm going to let God be the justifier. Lord, I give it to you, whatever. But if somebody were to wrong somebody that I loved, then it's so much harder for us to stay silent. So much harder for us to not fight for justice, you know, not to say anything. One of our house church members recently married, and the wife was kind of sharing how her boss was being very, very difficult. And the husband was saying, you know, if I had been in the room where this boss was telling my wife off, man, I would have said something. I would have set this woman straight, you know. I would have definitely done something about it. But the wife, she was saying that she remained silent and God came through and God delivered her. But the husband was saying, but if I had been there, I would have made sure that she knew, you know, what we were thinking and stuff like that. And so we're talking about that in our loved ones. And then we got to talking about, you know, people that are just getting unjustly treated all over the world. And how, we talk about we need to fight for justice. But why? You know, I mean, isn't humility better for them? Like, aren't they supposed to let God be their justifier as well? So I don't know if that question even makes sense to you this early in the morning. But that was a question we've been wrestling about. But as I was reading this passage, just one thought really hit me that I think kind of answers this question. So if we could read in verse 6, right? In Nehemiah says, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. We would agree. We would also feel angry if, you know, when we hear about these injustices that go on in the world, especially things like Cambodia, you know, we're going there and there's these little girls that have been sold into sex slavery. And, you know, you hear stories like that, or children in some nations, Africa, you know, just being sold or forced to be child soldiers or whatever. You hear about different things and we get angry. We're like, that is so messed up. And that feeling is there. And this is how Nehemiah responds, right? When he hears it, he says, I must do something about it. And he puts his emotions into action and he calls the nobles together. And here's my thought. I think when it comes to fighting for justice, here's another thing at House Church that we said. We said, you know, we need to make sure that when we treat people, we treat them with justice. You know, when we treat people, we make sure that we're not bringing injustice upon them. But if injustice is done upon us, then we remain silent. You know, then it's humility, is remaining silent, letting God be the defender. But the way we act towards other people, we should make sure that we don't bring injustice upon them. Right? So we know that. I mean, we would all agree. Yeah, we shouldn't be people that exploit people and, you know, do these things. We shouldn't be the ones selling the girls and making kids into soldiers, all that stuff. Yeah, we would agree with that. But what I think God would say to us is, if we are in a position where we're able to do something and we don't do anything for the people that are being unjustly treated, I think God would look at that and say, you are a perpetrator. You know what I mean? You are just as guilty as the... Because we would look at those people that are selling the girls to be sex slaves and making kids into child soldiers. And we say, we stand apart from them. We say, that's messed up what they're doing. And we get angry at what they're doing. But we say, oh, but, you know, at least I'm not doing that kind of thing. And then we wrestle with the question, you know, do we have to do something, you know? But shouldn't they just rely on God to be their justifier? And we wonder about that. But what God was kind of saying to me, I feel like through this passage, is that, no, if we're standing here and looking at them, pointing fingers and saying, they're doing this unjust thing, but at least we're not doing it, and wrestling with the question, should we help them, you know? Doesn't God want to be their defender? If I don't help, isn't God going to be their defender? And I felt like if we are doing that, God would look at us and say, no, if you're standing here with an ability to do something about what is going on and not doing anything, then you're not actually in this position of being innocent. You're actually in this position of being just as guilty as the ones that's perpetrating this. And that's why we have to do something. That's why we have to fight against injustice and fight for justice in this world. Because Nehemiah is in a position of power, right? He's a leader. That's why he's able to say, hey man, nobles, lead, rich people, come together. You're going to get this right. But I want to say, for all of us, I think we are in a position of influence in some way. If some way we hear about some injustice that is going on in this world, we have something that we can do, no matter what it is. Even if it's a very small thing, we have some things that we can do. But if we choose to say, you know, that's inconvenient, you know, I don't want to, that world of injustice, it confuses me, it's too much, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be burdened by these things. And we just kind of philosophically think about these things, yet we think that we're separated from them. I think God would say, no, you're, because if Nehemiah was there, he learned about these things and he didn't do anything. Even if he wasn't the one charging huge interests and exploiting the people, I don't think Nehemiah would be in the right. Nehemiah would be just as guilty as, I don't know if just as guilty, but also guilty of the injustice, because he was in a position of power to stop this injustice that was going on, but he didn't do anything. So it's no longer, you know, he's innocent and he's just kind of looking at people that are doing injustice. He's also counted guilty, perpetrator of the injustice. And that's why he has to do something. If he doesn't do something, then he's also guilty of the sin of injustice. Does that make sense? It's starting to make sense to me. I know it's early morning and I'm saying these things and it might be kind of confusing, but yeah, this idea of fighting for justice, you know, I don't think we have to ask and wonder, oh, maybe I shouldn't fight for justice for these people because God will be their defender if I don't do anything. We should look at it like, man, if I don't do anything, I'm being unjust. I'm like encouraging this injustice if I don't do anything. And the key thing is we're all in a position of power to fight against injustice that is going on in this world in some way or some form. It's just uncomfortable for us and very inconvenient for us. So much easier to not think about it. But with this globalization of this, you know, this world, I mean, we hear about it. We know what is going on. And for us to know what is going on, to have the ability to do something about it, and to just say, I'll let them figure it out, I think then we are also guilty of that sin of injustice. So that's what I want to say. So let's not do that. Let's inconvenience ourselves. I know it's not easy. It's very, very confusing when we deal with these things. There was a great video, which you guys should see, on fighting for justice. And this video was basically saying, man, yeah, if you stand apart from them and you talk about fighting for justice, then it's stressful. Then you ask questions like, is this even worth it? You know, they're going to be exploited again and again. Even if I have one person, 10 others will get exploited. And, you know, what's the point of fighting for justice? But the video is saying, no, but when you start fighting for justice, you don't stand apart from them. You become one of them. Then you're fighting for your own people against the injustice that is coming. And so once we enter into that fight, once we enter into this struggle, then it becomes more personal to us and we start understanding what they're going through. So let's do that. Let us be a people that fight for justice. And you could talk to our very own Janella. She does a lot of things in Hong Kong to fight for justice and to, you know, doing local outreach and stuff. And yeah, I mean, just inconvenience yourself a little bit and say, hey, what can I do? And let's get out of our false bubble that we create, you know, to keep us feeling safe. So, hey, let's pray to the Lord. Jeff's going to lead us in a song. I'll just pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and speak to us, God. I know this is very, it's very raw from me, even. I'm still trying to understand, God, your heart for justice and our call to fight for justice, God. But I do think this is what you're saying to us, God, that if we know what's going on and we have the power to do something and we choose not to get involved, then we are just as guilty as the people that are perpetrating this injustice, God. And I pray that you would bring conviction to our hearts, God, and lead us into action, God, not just knowing about it, you know. Even if it's just prayer, God, I pray that we would be serious about praying, Lord, and really praying for justice, God, not just kind of thinking about it. So I confess, I repent, God, of my uninvolvement, God, and just being lazy at times. And I pray that our church, that we would not be a lazy church, God, that we would be very proactive, Lord, in fighting for justice. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us. I know there's always confusion, God. We don't know how much to do and what to do. And I pray, Lord, for Holy Spirit, your guidance, God, and just for you to speak to us, Lord, and give us new strategies, God, to know how to be part of this fight for justice. So thank you, Lord.
In my life, your will be done. in my life, your will be done.
Let's spend a bit of time just in prayer. Ask the Lord, you know, what His heart is for justice and how you can be involved in this fight as well, in this struggle. In what way? What can I do? You know, let's ask the Lord, what can we do? So let's spend a bit of time in prayer for that. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our friends, family that are struggling with cancer and going through chemo, waiting for a transplant. Let's pray once again with faith and with boldness. And let's really pray for healing and breakthrough in their lives and pray that God's presence will be with them in a powerful way. So let's lift up our community. Let's go to the next slide. Illness and salvation. Let's pray for those that are serious illness, but they're not saved yet. Let's pray that God will bring healing to them and bring salvation. I know there's a lot of people on the list, so some of you can go from the bottom up, you know, or you can just pick from the middle and just go down so that everybody gets covered. So let's really pray for every person that God will move in their lives and bring healing and also salvation to them. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the third slide, various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing and strength upon them, and again, God's presence to bring comfort to them in this time, that they won't be discouraged. So let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our fourth slide, for our community that are still looking for a job. Let's pray for breakthrough, and let's pray that they'll be able to hear from God very clearly in this season of their lives. And let's pray for favor. Let's pray against discouragement. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to our mission focus. Wednesday, it's for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley and for Bloom. And let's pray right now because the Phnom Penh directors are right now in Siem Reap in another city starting another cafe. So Grace is having to look over a lot of things. So let's really pray for God's strength over her and for protection, and let's really lift up Bloom and Grace and Ashley. Pray for Pastor O and Pastor Tang, the New Life Church. We'll be going this year again for the worship conference. So let's pray for that church and for the Spirit to really move in that church. So let's lift up Cambodia today. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray that they'll be able to hear from the Lord very, very clearly. Let's pray for them to also fall deeper in love with Jesus every day in a deep way. You know, so let's really pray for them that they're able to lead out of their being. So let's pray for our board. Thank you. Let's pray for men and women's ministries. Let's pray for the retreat coming up. Pray for the preparation. Pray for the sign-ups. Let's pray for an amazing time. So let's pray for the retreat and the ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0's new building and a donor. Basically, there was a prophecy made that God was going to bring a donor to us that would help us with a new building. And let's just pray for that in response to the prophecy and in faith that this is what God is doing. Let's pray for God's leadership over us, that we would also be ready as a church for a new building and the donors. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, Causeway Bay Island, Sha Tin, Robinson West, Happy Valley, Mick Robinson. Let's pray for a great time of fellowship and sharing and praying for one another. And let's pray against any barriers. Let's pray for the anointing of God to be upon them, for the presence of God to be so powerful, so strong upon these house churches. So let's lift up these house churches meeting tonight. Dear God, we thank you so much for your presence here, God. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your grace, God, and your power, your goodness over us, God. We want to say that we love you, Lord, and we are your people, God. And I pray that we have been so loved and so blessed by you. Help us to extend this blessing, God, to others around us, God, and especially in this area of fighting for justice, God. Lord, stir our hearts, God, and move us into action, God, in some form. And I not pray that it won't be guilt or just this unnecessary, you know, burden, but God, that Holy Spirit, that you would lead us, Lord, in this aspect, in this area. So I pray for every person here, every person listening to the podcast, and I pray, God, for your blessing over us. Lord, help us to bring joy to your heart in some way today. I thank you that you're walking with us. Help us to be mindful of you throughout the day and to be obedient to you. And God, we give you everything that we are, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.